But this is where we live, and this is what we gotta take care of. So the Hawaiians and ours, the Hawaiians out there, all the people living in Hawaii, aloha mako ya oko fatahia pau.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Hawaiian Music Calendar is supported by HawaiianMusicStore.com. Mahalo, HawaiianMusicStore.com, for your support.
Aloha kakahi a kakako. Welcome to our Hawaiian music calendar for Saturdays. On the North Shore, the Tiki and Niki Restaurant and Princeville Shopping Center presents CAM from 6 to 8. The Tahiti Nui and Hanalei features Jeff Caldwell from 6:30 to 9. The St. Regis Hotel in Princeville features Keili'i Kanialii from 6:30 to 9:30. On the South Shore, Leilani Rivera Lowe and Halau Hula O Leilani are at the Grand Hyatt in Po'epu from 6 to 9. Keoki's Paradise in the Po'epu Shopping Center presents Moku and Lenny at 6:30. Merriman's Fish House at the Kukui'ula Shopping Center in Po'epu features Kirby Keo at the front mall entrance facing the lanai. He's on the lanai there from 6 to 8. On the east side, there's a free hula show featuring Leilani Rivera Lowe and Halau Hula O Leilani at the Coconut Marketplace Shopping Center at 1 p.m. The Hukilau Lanai at the Kauai Coast Resort in Waipoli presents Billy Paul from 6 to 9. Shutter's Lounge at the Kauai Beach Resort presents Jonah Cummings from 7 to 10. The East Side Cafe in Okapa'atau presents Hawaiian music from 7 to 9. The Courtyard Kauai Marriott Resort at Waipoli features John Planis from 6:30 to 8:30. And Larry Rivera is featured at the Kauai Museum in Lihue from 1 to 2 with talk, story, and music. On our west side, the Wrangler Steakhouse in Waimea presents Nick Castillo from 6 to 8. If you have Hawaiian music events you'd like posted on our Hawaiian music calendar, please fax it at least 1 week before the event to 826-7977 or email it to events@kkcr.org. Attention, Linda. Mahalo nui loa. Have a great Hawaiian day.
That's right. Now, how's your day, cousin? Because you are on KKCR Hanalei and KQA Kilauea.
It's a windy day.
Oh, yeah. It's
very windy.
Yeah, kind of still cold over here, too.
Matter of fact, it's so windy, it's like my allergies kick in my elemus. So I'm like, okay, I wish I could stay indoor 24/7 at this particular point in an air-conditioned lock-up room, but no, can't. So I want to just mention this, you know, there is some information regarding the what is that? Oh, shoot. It's the Alzheimer's, in terms of the pesticide, Kauai pesticide report. Okay.
Yeah, I heard now, that. How's that?
Well, just recently, the Accord Network, which is, the joint fact-finding group, JFF, has released its draft final report for public comments. Now, the draft final report is comprised of three different parts. It's a report, Appendix 1 and Appendix 2. Now, the study group is interested in two kinds of feedback, okay? So, you know, it's two kinds of feedback, okay? First, there are specific errors with any of the factual data or empirical evidence that has been gathered. And are there? Are there specific errors with it? Of specific errors with any of the factual data or empirical evidence that was gathered. And second, they're looking for specific and relevant factual data or peer-reviewed empirical evidence of the group that the group may have missed. Now, if you want, first of all, while I'm sort of discussing this, what you can do is you can look at the project description, and that is available. And it's best to look at that and read through it and to get the general information that they've gathered. And then you can find that, actually you can find that on www.accord, where's that at? Accord3, that's ACCORD3.com. And again, that's www.ACCORD3.com. And then what you do is once you go there, you'll see the front page, and you'll see something called projects on the top page. On the opening page, you'll see projects. Under projects, you'll go there, and you'll see current. And under current, there's a file called GM Crops and Pesticides on Kauai. So you can go there and basically look at that report. Now, sometimes you look at things and in the past, the various different groups and, with your stockholders and whatnot have been somewhat of a, I would say, not an up and up situation. I mean, it was a stacked deck, stacked towards, you know, the, enemy side, you know. I look at it this way. There's the people, there's the people in the environment, and then there's the enemy. So, however, this one may seem to be a little bit more on the up and up. Okay. A little bit more. Okay. Now, again, if you want to, you can go to www.accord3.com. And like I said before, at the top of the page, you'll see projects. And then under projects, you'll push projects and it'll go to current, and then you'll see the report, GM Crops and Pesticide on Kauai. Now, after you've looked for those, you know, since the study group is interested in two kinds of feedback, after you look for those two types of feedback, then you basically have to explain why such information and data is pertinent to the pesticide use on Kauai and provide a link or reference to the information or data for the group to consider. Now, comments could be, should be, limited to 250 words or less. But if you provide a link, you can give your comments and then you can give a link to such data if you do find it. Now, you can submit your comments to JFF Comments. That's short for Joint Fact Finding Comments. JFF comments, period, comments, plural, at gmail.com up until about April the 8th. Now, April 8th is the deadline to submit your comments. Now, again, like I said, the project description is available for general information. Now, people have questions about this, one of the reasons or the issue that this group came about was because the issue of genetically modified agricultural production basically has generated many questions and considerable emotion, to say the least. One of the debates focuses on the possible adverse health and environmental impacts from pesticide use in conjunction with growing GM crops. Now, sorting out the facts, and that's what they're looking to do, sort out facts. What we know and what can say with reasonable confidence, what we don't know and what we might reasonably need to know in the future is basically a challenge, but it's not impossible. Basically, that's what the group states. Now, Peter S. Adler and members of the Accord 3 Network have been asked by the Hawaii State Department of Ag, the Kauai's Mayor Bernard Carvalho, to conduct a joint fact-finding project on the island of Kauai. The project will commence approximately January 1st, 2015, which it did, and is expected to conclude within a year of its official start. Now, why was this necessary? Well, debates over pesticide and other related issues have been pursued primarily through litigation, legislative proposals, and political lobbying. Missing from the picture have been safe spaces where people with knowledge and goodwill who may disagree with each other can meet, review, discuss, interpret evidence, and deliberate. Now, the joint fact-finding group will provide, or the joint fact-finding will provide a forum for rigorous consideration, evidence-based debate, and collective fact-finding. Now, what is joint fact-finding? It's an analytic deliberation process designed to gather and interpret the facts pertinent to a specific problem. Now, the overall goals of any joint fact-finding are to illuminate the factual assumptions behind the controversy and map areas of factual agreement that all parties can respect and put those areas in proper context and then help inform policy. A joint fact-finding may also identify specific questions and issues to be further assessed in separate studies. Now, for more in-depth explanation, you can read the materials that basically Accord 3 has, the Accord 3 network has. You can go to their website. Now, what will this type of process or this effort do? Well, based on examination of available literature and data sources, the joint fact-finding group will, to the best of its abilities, undertake a broad examination of where GM and other production-scale crops are grown on Kauai. They'll look at the historic and current use of pesticides on Kauai, and they'll also look at the historic and current use of pesticides on Kauai, along with the prevalent and acute and chronic health conditions occurring on Kauai at levels that are above state or nationwide rates, and evidence of environmental contamination that can reasonably and empirically be associated with the use of pesticides. Now, the JFF group will not produce any original research, and they won't do this. Basically, they'll look to examine information, okay, that's available. So if those of you who are out there have this type of information, then it is strongly, you're strongly urged to provide this type of information in order for the group to consider, especially if you read the description, you know, the project description, and find that if this information that you have knowledge of is not in this report, then by all means provide this type of information for the group to go over. Now, how will the project work? Well, before the project started, the project director and its team will assemble a preliminary inventory of existing pertinent studies, okay, and that's other information that's out there, and other baseline information. I'm sure that the GM industry will more than willing give their information. However, some of the information, even if it comes from the United States Drug Administration, we have to look at also the information that we've had in the past and looking at who sat on a USDA and also the positions they switched politically and professionally, going back and forth to becoming a pertinent player in the GM industry itself. And you can see that in the past. That data is available. So that may prove to be a conflict of interest if any information is given by the United States Drug Administration during the time, during a specific time, and any documents or any information or stuff that they had put out, and then that very same person that the USDA was under, if he has in fact had been employed by the corporations, the GMO corporations, or the feed corporations, then I would gather there's conflict of interest, major. Okay, so a lot of this information can go in terms of not looking at the data, but looking at in terms of those who are responsible for providing that so-called data. And I think it's for us to turn around and provide us, the general public, to provide those links. Because I think that the group is just going to look at the data itself. But a lot of times you have to look at, even if they say it's scientific data, the fact of the matter is who was controlling the data that was going to be released. And it's like anything else. The major player or the major person in charge of releasing that data, it's like a newspaper. You write an article. You submit the article in to be reviewed by the editor and the editor-in-chief. And then they look over the report. Now, a lot of times what they do is cut, cut, cut to make the story more interesting. But the problem is, the more you cut and to make the story more interesting, those information that one cuts may basically what may be considered the truth of the matter. And so, therefore, by the time the article has been edited to the point where it's now ready in the editor's eyes to be published, well, the fact that it's a piece of fiction that, you know, has the major part of the truth edited out, so therefore it makes it something more along the lines of a lie. So, again, that's the way I see in terms of those who may have been wooed by the GM corporations and may have had a position of in a public trust situation to, you know, bring the truth about. And in fact, it may have played a part in hiding the truth. And then because of their cooperation, so to speak, they end up becoming a CEO with one of them, or a major player with a gigantic salary with one of the C corporations. And this has happened. This has happened. It's been shown this has happened. GMO Free Kauai has shown documents this has happened, have had information and done research along with many others, has shown this to be true. So, therefore, we must not let that aspect be forgotten. And so when you do read this report, if you see something that may lead to questioning the data that was submitted and by who during the time that the data may have been compromised, then by all means submit that information. Now, this whole studies and baseline information that will be gathered and assembled will be further refined during the JFF process, or the Joint Fact-Finding process. Simultaneously, interviews with 15 to 25 people will be conducted on Kauai to identify potential specific pesticide-related questions to be flagged for possible study, and B, the potential expertise that is available in Kauai and needed for an effective JFF or the Joint Fact-Finding Group. Now, the Joint Fact-Finding Group will convene for an anticipated set of 8 meetings over a 12-month period, with teleconferences taking place between these. And this has happened. And at least 2 of these meetings will welcome respectful comments and questions from the public. Members of the group and the project team will be required to openly declare conflicts of interest. And you can see the conflicts of interest forms. And then basically after all this has happened, the public is then cordially invited to submit names of persons who know the island's communities and landscapes and or have detailed understanding of agriculture, environmental health, epidemiology, toxicology, biostatistics, medicine, public health, or other related disciplines. And when we say understands of agriculture, it'd be in best interest for those of us who are undertake what is called the Maloma Aina principle, and I'm saying those of us, and let's make this perfectly clear. The GMC corporations do not follow the Maloma Aina principle, okay? It's foreign to their, corporate financial gains. It's actually opposite their corporate financial bottom line, which is the almighty dollar. Now, the Maloma Aina principle is more cultural, more environmentally safe, and spiritually, and having dignity and respect for the land. Okay. Now, this is those who have that type of understanding of agriculture, because I'm sure you're going to get the U.S. understanding of agriculture, which to me has been till the Kukai of Aina, until there's nothing left of any type of nutritional and healthy value in the soil to the point where it's depleted beyond belief, or just pour tons of poison on it. That's the United States way. I mean, come on. Look in history. This is the type of agriculture they practice here. I think it's time for it to stop, personally. That's my personal point of view. Now, again, with submission of any of these persons who know, or have understanding of all these, include indication that they'll be willing to, that they may be willing to speak to the joint fact-finding team and their contact information and their biographical profile or a curriculum. It's like knowledge. But if you have cultural and historical and spiritual knowledge, which may fall under and look at the general plan, Kauai's general plan, caring for land, water, and culture. Yeah. And it takes, that chapter takes in consideration the, Maloma Aina principle, process. Okay. So, they may not recognize it, but then if they don't recognize it and they don't recognize the host culture, process that has sustained our culture prior to the influx of the United States and their process of killing Aina, then what happens is just we can always find information that support our culture and how we thrived and the Aina thrived. Now also, the public is also invited to submit citations and references on relevant studies. And it's preferably they want peer-reviewed articles published in major scientific journals. Wow, there's some interesting stuff that's coming out in scientific journals, and it's part of the United States, but it's scientists that have studied from other countries regarding the runoff and pesticide runoff, what it can do in terms of affecting the terrain and the aquatic biodiversity. And there's reports out there that doesn't make the GM corporations or pesticide use, the amount of pesticide use, it doesn't support that. We like that. And then there's also what they want is citations and references on data or possible data source on Kauai-specific agricultural land use, pesticide use, health impacts and environmental pollution and contamination that could be linked to GM pesticides. Now, many of our ohana have since, and if you look, and I would look at this very seriously. I know Mohia, that's a group that basically came together, parents and teachers and the community of Waimea came together due to the effects of the sprays had on not only children but others, and they put together a blog especially then the reason why is because the effects and what had happened with the children at Waimea Canyon Middle School. So if you go on Maluhia or if you Google Waimea Canyon Middle School pesticide spray, they'll come up with a lot of articles, and they do have a blog in regards to use of the and understanding and knowledge of the chemicals that are being sprayed through the GM. So mahalo to all those who, unfortunately, they were negatively inspired by the effects it had on them, and the and also the how shall I say the blatant ignoring of that whole episode by not only the Department of Education, but the Department of Health. So, I mean, it's like when people in those two fields, which this clearly affected, this affected the community as such, and two of the agencies, or two of the main agencies that should have, you know, come to rally to support the children and the educators, sort of like, you know, didn't see the pink elephant sipping on a martini in the middle of the room. It just didn't, you know, it's like, wow, really? So, you know, that sort of thing, that sort of information, that on possible data sources. Unfortunately, because, it's a principle. I forget it was. Hopefully somebody's listening with GMO Freak White. You could call in. It's something principle. It'll come to me. I'll know how much I get. But anyway, those are the information. That's the stuff that this group is looking to have. Okay, public comment. And so, again, the complete project description regarding this whole year of gatherings, fact finding, et cetera, can be found. You can look at it and find it at www.accord3.com. Go to that beginning page, see on the top of the bar where it says projects, click on projects, and then you'll see a file that says current. And there it is on that. It'll be in that file folder. Okay, so, again, the pesticide report is available. The GM crops and pesticide report is available. So for those of you who want to look at it in depth, if you're concerned, and then look at it and see if anything's missing, send that information in, and you've got until April the 8th, less than a month, and time flies. Unfortunately, they don't give you too much of a time. They give everybody about a year time to put things together, but they really don't give you or us, the community, time to really look at this issue, which needs to be looked at.
Well, it's funny, and according to the Garden Island, the Spit decision, the report calls for an updated regulations, but finds no health impacts for pesticide use on Kauai, which would contradict with what the actual people, including our cousins on the west side, are saying.
Exactly. And see, this is why I say a lot of times if you read this report, what's missing is the truth. The effects that it has. But the Department of Health.
Wait, cuz, we have a phone caller. Let's get them on the air. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or something?
Oh, yeah. If you could just give the URL again, www. I got a cord, but.
Okay, cuz, you want to give that again?
Okay, it's www.accord3.com.
Free, F-R-E-E.
No, three, as in the number three. It's the number three. A-C-C-O-R-D, the number three, .com.
Okay, that's good. Because I'm going to have packed some input into that also. I don't see how come they're not looking at Vietnam-era veterans as being part of it. because we got sprayed in Agent Orange, and what the heck you think? The whole military government came to a standstill, and now we have Agent Orange Priority 1. A lot of the Vietnam veterans in Kekaha have it. There's about five of them that are really serious, and it's all because of Agent Orange. So what's the difference between Agent Orange and Roundup?
Well, according to the scientific information, it's pretty close.
Yep.
The chemical makeup is...
Our guy's going to put in any thing because we don't want paper. I get paper. That's the stuff I use for wipe my butt.
But, yeah, and see, this is why I think this is pertinent, because you're right. You're right, Anthony. I mean, I look at all this, and what you, when you read the reports, what you usually find is that the truth is missing from the whole report, because they're looking again. They're looking for errors in factual data or empirical evidence that has been gathered, and then they're looking for and it's factual and empirical. However, you know,
Us Vietnam veterans, we're the biggest list of empirical evidence they'll ever have, and yet they keep ignoring us.
Exactly.
They act like all the problems that that doctor did at KVMH, oh, that's nothing, that we're just not going to take it in, just like the DOI. But we do need to submit it.
Well, maybe 2020 needs to come down again.
Yeah, so I'm going to sign off for now, and I'm going to listen to you some more. But I'm going to go on this site, and I'm going to check it out. That's why I have to call.
Okay, please do, please do.
Okay. Okay, and this was part of $100,000 for a 108-page report.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about $1,000 a page. And it was funded by County of Kauai and the Department of Agriculture. So they did say... the group found 11 of the approximately 20 known health conditions associated with pesticide exposures in the Kauai population. But like you said, because they couldn't show any impact because they weren't able to find fully reliable or accurate health data, like you said, and because the population involved is so small. So basically what they said was... kind of nothing, really. They can't find this. They can't confirm it.
Well, basically, what they said is the effects that the pesticide had on the small group of people
are none. They can't find. Well, not none. They can't verify it.
Yes. Well, here's the problem. I see it as saying that the lives of those people that it has affected does not count. The health of and the lives. And the quality of lives of the people that the pesticides has affected, is not important enough to stop this. This is what they're saying. I mean, people hear what they're saying. They're saying, oh, we haven't, there's not enough, oh, we can't, what I'm hearing is, however many people have come forward at this point, which I'm sure is a small amount, because the majority of the people that it does affect are the people who are working for this industry, and they're not going to jeopardize their jobs and jeopardize feeding their families, even if it costs them their very health. They're not going to come forward with that, okay? That's one. Two, what I'm hearing them this saying is that the amount of people that really they have data on, their lives don't mean a hell of a lot, okay? The quality of their lives don't mean hookah, okay?
Well, I mean, you spend $100,000 and you can't come with a definitive answer after spending $100,000. It's like, nah, we don't know. That's a lot of money, and you know who monies that is. That's those property tax monies that I pay that are going to that for a...
That's everybody's tax money.
Everybody's. $100,000 to get a... we don't know. After $100,000, we don't know.
See, I didn't even read the report, but I could tell you from past experiences with these so-called joint fact-finding and stockholder and all this other stuff, that I can tell you which way it's going to go.
Well, you saw the other one. There's a call from groups call for EPA to step in. Department of Agriculture's investigation complete into incident and Syngenta. Supposedly, several groups are calling for the EPA to step in to investigate recent incident that sent several Syngenta employees on Kauai to the hospital.
Yeah. No. See, this is what I'm telling you. But you know what? Who pays their bills? Their health bills?
Well,
it's going to be.
Quote, this is a quote, time and again, Hawaii authorities who are, supposed to serve the public and are voted, you know, most of these are voted and the people who are appointed by people who got voted in, have turned their backs on Hawaii's residents and farm workers in favor of agrochemical companies, said Earth Justice Attorney Paul Archtoff. He goes on to say, we have no confidence that an investigation by the Hawaii Department of Agriculture will get to the bottom of this incident or take measures to ensure these poisonings stop. And obviously by them coming out with their $100 or $100,000 report going, we don't know for sure.
Exactly. And here's the thing.
We have a $100,000 back? We paid you to find something. You found nothing. Give us our money back.
But, you know, it doesn't shock me at all. It doesn't shock me at all.
No, I think the Earth Justice, Paul, I hope I'm saying this right. Yeah, he's saying it right. He's saying it right. They're favoring the agrochemical companies. Why? Because they have more money.
Yep.
So our politicians are bending down to the people who have more money.
Well, it's called campaign contributions.
Yeah, but, you know, going back to the point that we've been talking a lot all this time, that people, you know, most of us do realize, but like Anthony says and many other people says, it's your voting. Hello? It's your voting. You know, you don't like what these people are doing, and if these elected officials are paying for this and getting no results, then hey, then we change our elected officials.
Yeah, let's change it to some of those people who are suffering from, you know, chemical, all the side effects of, health effects of, the so-called chemicals, in the spring. Let's get some of those people in office. Yeah, let's, you know, and what? You're gonna say they have a conflict of interest?
They're saying that on January 20th, Syngenta reported that employees entered a field at its Kekaha site too soon after it had been sprayed with, I don't know, it looked like Clioprotis. It's something I can't even pronounce. Some chloripyrenophis or whatever. They were taken
poison.
To...
Poison! Poison! Just call it like it is, cuz. Poison!
Yeah, it's like, no, go in the field right now because there's poison in the field. That's why. No, go right now. Wait till after the poison kind of calms down. What? It kind of tells you already, wait a minute, you're spraying stuff that you have to give time to kind of calm down before humans can go in the fields that you sprayed. Huh, let me think. I don't think that's any good, you know, for us or the environment. Sounds like, yeah. No, I have to be rocket scientist. I don't have to wait for a $100,000 report to tell me and then
no,
tell me
lie.
To kind of tell me a lie. Oh, no, we can't tell. Oh, but these people walk in and they all go hospital. Let me check my book. Come on now. You know, it's pissing away our money to get no results. There's a small group making money off our taxpaying dollars, and then they give us this crap that the Earth Justice guy had it right. Can't even count on them on the reports that they're giving us. Look at that. Split decision. They can't even get a definitive answer after $100,000, after they lost the lawsuit over there where the families are supposed to be paid. Gee, I just talked to one of my cousins. She gives me the whole story. I don't know. Who did these guys talk to? The plants? Is that why they couldn't get any feedback? Because they couldn't get any answers out of the plants? This whole thing is getting ridiculous. It really is.
Actually, it's getting dangerous.
Yeah, it is,
getting dangerous to the community. It's getting dangerous to people's health.
And then we have these agencies who are there to protect us, and they can't even find an answer.
No, because, you know, they're getting paid not to find the answer. So my question is, how big is that brown paper bag that's being slid underneath that table? Oh, my gosh. You know, it's politics as usual. And that's what I call it, politics as usual. But, you know, I look at it this way. Can we get some of those CEOs together and just lock them up in a room and spray this stuff inside there and keep them there for about 24 hours and see who walks out? Can we do that? Can we please? Can we do that?
Well, according to this, Scott Enright, the chairperson of the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, said their investigation was completed on this incident and sent to the EPA for a review about 2 weeks ago. So he said he expedited it, and he expects the EPA to respond.
Yeah, he expedited without comments that are being sent.
Right, and then and that's why Earth Justice.
We can submit comments. But can we turn around and have those comments also shipped to the EPA?
Well, that's why Earth Justice is saying that the EPA should not just go on his report. They need to jump in here and do their own investigation.
Yeah.
But then again, how well is that going to be, too? You know?
No, it's like insane. It totally is insane.
Oh, ooh. And we passed the top of the hour. So real quickly, KKCR Hanalei, KQA Kilauea, this is in Naleo Hawaiian Issues. Naleo Hawaiian Issues is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kamoa Ukulele and KCC, Kauai Community College.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments, built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
The Hawaiian Studies Program at Kauai Community College, offering courses and experiences in Hawaiian language and culture for the children and friends of Hawaii. 245-8202.
Okay, because I'm reading, and mahalo for supporting quiet communities so we can bring these issues to light. And again, we're going off the what happened with Syngenta and the report that they came back that it was kind of like split. They really didn't have a definitive answer on what's going on or whether they can say definitively whether or not there's a human harm with the pesticides. But it did say over here, the investigation found there was a re-entry into a field sprayed with pesticides 4 hours early, which is a violation. And what was brought up, too, is, okay, so you're not supposed to go in the field, but what about the drift? Especially that, we've been having windy times. You can't contain that on just your little acre or your acres where you have your plants. That thing's going to drift. And if 4 hours, man, that could drift a long place. And what about the people who don't know that?
Exactly. And most of the general public don't know that. You know what I mean? But, wow. I just look at all this, and especially with GMOs, major corporations that, funded, you know, chemical warfare. And now they want to, we want to help preserve your food. Okay. You like eating them first. Come on. I just can't. But, anyway. But there's so much going on. There's so much going on. It's not even funny. It's not really not funny. Okay.
Oh, it's funny that Joshua Urihara, who got some backlash when he put out an article, I don't know, about a year ago, I think it was, which was expected. He's the station manager for Syngenta, so what else is he going to come out and do and support everything they do?
Yeah.
But he would say Urihara says this chlorpyrifos is safe to use as directed on its label, and Syngenta doesn't plan stop using it. Just tell your workers, no, go in for at least 6 hours after we spray.
But that, you know, when your supervisor says, go in, what you gonna do? Huh? You didn't read the inner office memo, huh?
Yeah, and if they're having a problem with their workers, how are they going to control the drift?
They're not. They can't.
They can't. I know. How are you going to control the wind?
You can't control the wind.
I don't know. This just seems like this is going to
explode. I just look at it and it's like, you can't control the corruption. I mean,
well, that's what your vote is for. But, you know, see, I mean, you bring that and bring this whole around. I was kind of shocked, even though the trend in the United States is Trump is running away with the Republican. Well, not running away, but he's always on top because Rubio and Ted are splitting everything apart. And, well, now Rubio's really behind now, but I was shocked to see Trump overwhelmingly took the Republican caucuses in Hawaii. And it's because, for me, I mean, I kind of agree. Trump is out there. And it's, I mean, if Americans want someone like that who talks on the side of his mouth, and I mean, I think Rubio had it right, is that you can't just spew anything you want as a presidential person. That has consequences. But I was surprised that the majority of the Republicans here would support that type of character. I really was. I thought, in my view, and again, this is what I was thinking, is that, you know, you're here in Hawaii, you have a little more compassion, you know, for different things. And
no.
I was really surprised
the
that Trump which shows that their attitude is kind of same. Because for me, Trump is kind of like almost the radicals you see in Iran chanting death to America. You have this guy going, block all Muslims, and Mexico is going to build the wall. It's like, you know, really? I mean,
yeah, I look at it this way, especially here in occupied Kingdom of Hawaii. You know, it's like, block this one, should we block you? Should we toss all the Republicans out with the dirty bathwater? Should we? It's like, all those who voted for Trump, we should get them back to America.
Well, I was just watching CNN before I came, and this one reporter says that, and there's an increase on confrontations at Trump's rallies and stuff, and he's saying if he gets the nomination, we can only see this get worse. Because he has said some things that are kind of out there. You know, his response to the KKK, and just the way he presents himself up there. I mean, if the Republican Party thinks that's, you know, who they want representing, you know, going to, I just don't get it. But,
last night, I sort of like tuned in, then tuned right back out. He was asked, does he think that, you know, his rallies or what he stands for and inspires, confrontation and conflict? And after, you know, certain incidences have happened at his rally, and he said, oh, no, the general public is just passionate. I was like,
I'm just surprised about the mentality that will support that type of character to be your nominee for the highest of your country. He's going to represent your country around the world. And I was more so shocked about in Hawaii that Republicans here, cause he's way out there for me and for other people. And, I just can't see him representing the United States. He's good on the Apprentice reality show. That's where he belongs. But representing the United States, I just can't believe the Republicans are doing this.
Yeah, but I can believe it. I can believe it.
Shows the mentality. That means they like what he's saying. They want a wall build. They want to stop Muslims from coming in. And then the joke is, you guys were immigrants yourself. What are you talking about? But, you know, it means they condone what he's done, and they condone
you know what? Just
his character.
The thing that's placed at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Let's just have it scratched out, you know, cemented over. Give us your tired, your poor, your everlasting wanting to be free. your wretched refuse of your teeming shores. You know, just scratch that. It was about America welcoming, those who are looking for a better life everywhere, welcoming them. Now it's like, okay, well, shut the, just chop down a Statue of Liberty,
Yeah, cross that part out. Got to cross out the, give us your, got to cross that out on
Statue of Liberty. On the Constitution, all men are created equal. No. And not the immigrants, they're not.
I mean, the Republicans did turn around, but the stuff that has been said in their debates and what Trump has said is, if that's who they want representing the country, then we can be.
We United States. Get out. Cash, yeah. Well, we can.
Well, did you see they had an increase on after last win on the last Tuesday or something? It was some point where they saw an increase on Google and other search engines on how to move to Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, if the common working man thinks that he knows what they've gone through, I mean, just look at his background. He came from, his father, did build it's kind of like an American, rags to riches, but he was building I think it was somewhere in the Bronx or Brooklyn where it's a little bit not, they call him a tenement guy where he built a lot of, and made his money on there. But, Donald Trump, what, he got $1 million when he graduated, or 21 at that point. I don't see how these working class people think that he knows what they're going through, living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, business-wise, yeah, he did good, but he bankrupted a lot of times. I just see that trend of this Americanism, just like the fanatics in Iran, that were chanting death to America. It's just like a similar, people are just going nuts.
Yep.
Even some of the old commentators on the news are saying, God, we've never seen this kind of stuff before. Never in my lifetime, I've never saw when President Obama a couple of years talked to the State of the Union. Never heard anyone ever yell at the president during a State of a Union address. And it was a Republican. Even me, you may disagree with that, but you just made yourself look like a butthole. Hello? Never seen that. Never have seen these kind of debates that we're having. The last one was toned down. A big guy calling your hands are small and making, references to that and saying this guy's an idiot on the stage. And that's the guy you guys are going to pick for your president of the United States?
I gotta say this. I gotta say, how many people voted for Donald Trump? Now, from the island of Kauai, how many votes did Donald Trump get? 417. Ted Cruz got closest, 337.
Yeah, so it is tight between the two. I mean, it's getting tighter. You look across the United States, it's getting tighter between Ted Cruz and Trump. And we know there's a split in the Republican Party, but it's just surprising that Trump is still, head of the pack.
Right. And then on Honolulu, 4,552 voted for Trump, and 3,649 voted for Ted Cruz. Let's see.
Hey, I'd be interested. I mean, I may disagree with you, but that Republican's calling, why did you vote for Trump? What is it with him, even though what he said and done and the way he presents himself, what is it that you are voting for him, that you think that he can represent the United States? What is he going to go to Russia and off the cuff call Putin a butthead in front of everybody? I mean, it'd be interesting. Why would you vote for this guy? 826-7774, 826-7771. Why did you, the majority of Republicans on and in Hawaii and Kauai, vote for this man?
Yeah. Donald Trump, Big Island. I can understand why the majority are voting for him. The bogs got to their brain. But, let's see. 1,113 voted for Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, 659. Wow.
Well, it'll be interesting, unless they have a bleeding of Rubio and Ted Cruz supporters going to Trump. If they combine their numbers would overrun Trump.
Oh, definitely. 32%.
And they maintain their base, they can overrun Trump.
Yeah, 45%.
But it looks like it's the same problem that we have in our political arena for Hawaiians. The you know, like Rubio, I think the writing's on the wall. If you can't win Florida, it's time to get out. You haven't won, what, you won one state? I mean.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So that's interesting. I mean, no matter who gets in, Hawaiians are still going to call for our rights.
So yeah,
gonna
still, exactly.
Stand tall on that. So, but hey, we always give priority to callers who call in, and hopefully this is a caller, unless you lost your dog or something, but we do that too. Hello, caller, you're on the air with Nale Hawaiian Issues. Hello.
Aloha. I think also.
You got to come closer to the mic. You sound like you're okay. Calling from Waianae.
You're right on target about Trump, I think. But you also, please don't neglect to look at how crazy Cruz is. In some ways, he's much more dangerous, even though Trump is so bombastic and so, just makes you want to throw up. Cruz is really a very dangerous person, and I think that the public needs to look at that as well, because he's, even though Trump is, you know, as nasty and really out of character for a presidential candidate, Cruz is a dangerous one.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Cruz, but, he may be, something, like back, he may be presenting himself, but, what he has behind, I'm not too sure. And I don't know if you're a Republican or not, but for me, I'm more a liberal, and I really don't care. I vote for the person, I'll vote for a Republican. I voted for McCain. But their stance, like, I believe in, government has to tighten their belts. I mean, you don't have, money growing on trees, but
Cruz is not just for that. He is anti-choice. Anti-gay rights. He is a part of a religious concern, which I don't care whether my nominated person or president is religious, but he's going to bring his religion into politics.
Right, and I agree with you totally on that.
I think just to look at him more closely so that people make a more educated decision as to Cruz as well. I mean, none of them, in my estimation, are people I would vote for because of the way they conduct themselves. And look at Ted Cruz. I forget who it was, said that if he was murdered on the Senate floor, nobody would defend. We would bring up a charge against him.
Well, he was I forget who it was, one of the southern senators, and he was making reference on how messed up his party was too. He was saying that if you killed Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and we had the trial in the Senate, we wouldn't be able to convict anything or anybody.
But they don't like him. He's hard to work with. So if he became president, the Senate would not work with him. So nothing would get done. To begin with, they don't like him. They don't want to work with him.
Yeah, it's really gonna. Yeah, but right now it looks like it's going to be between Trump and Cruz, going down further down towards the wire, because it looks like Rubio's dropping off the deep end.
And he will. But I just hope that people also consider who Ted Cruz is. I mean, if they're voting Republican because they're Republican, to look at who Ted Cruz is and what he would bring to the table. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to point out here. I wouldn't vote for either one of them, but, Cruz is in some ways far more dangerous, I think, than Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump, in fact, is much more of a Democrat, even though he's really kind of outrageous. God says he's much more of a Democrat and has progressive ways than Ted Cruz is. Ted Cruz is real, real ultra.
No, I see what you mean. Ted Cruz's hardline stance on no choice in that. I can see where he could be a little bit more dangerous. Where, like, I agree with you that Trump, he really isn't a conservative Republican. I mean, when you look at it, like you said, he's more liberal in a sense.
Right. And, not that he would be the one I would want to be president, but I think Cruz as a nominee and a possible president would be much more dangerous than Donald Trump. I don't want either. I think Kasich, for me, is much more of an adult. Is much more of an adult, and even though I don't endorse his policies, I think he's much more of a presidential candidate than any of us. But he's just not a theatrical person, as Ruben was.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I agree with you totally. I thought Tayshia was, he looks more presidential, if I can say that.
Right.
And acts more presidential.
Republicans are just, the people of this country, this is what frightens me, the people of this country are not thinking, they are just responding and reacting. And they don't, really don't know what these people stand for. They just like being bombastic and speaking their mind. Well, that's all well and good, but what do they really stand for? Donald Trump doesn't really give you any answers, and Ted Cruz, the answers he gives you are frightening. Anyway, I just wanted to...
Fantastic, Manalo. Thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts.
Okay, thank you. You've got a great program.
Aloha. And how does this affect the Hawaiian issues? Is that whoever gets in is going to have to deal with the rising voice of the Hawaiian people? We're not going to sit silent.
No, we're not.
But it is interesting what's happening on the stage. And I know nobody wants to, a lot of people have things about Hillary. And I agree, she has a problem that she's like the establishment. And I agree, this establishment has to be reestablished. It needs to change. And I like what Bernie Sanders has to say, too. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But what happens?
I got, some of the... When I look at stuff, a lot of times I look at stuff and say, what would be, important to discuss right now. And one of the things that's happening on the legislative front, the fact that there's something called the Hawaii Legislative Watch, 2016 Legislative Watch. It's called the People versus Government. Now, in terms of the Legislative Watch, there are certain bills that they look at and that are on and that will help support the people more so than the government. One of the bills, which I totally agree, term limits, and that's HB 168, Senate Bill 835, Senate Bill 927, Senate Bill 2699, and Senate Bill 2753 limit the terms of members of the Hawaii legislature to 12 consecutive years. Now, SB 2752 prohibits incumbents who have served for 12 consecutive years from being a candidate to serve an additional term of office in the Hawaii legislature. Now, bills like that, yeah, I support that, term limits, because some of these guys have been there way too long, they've gotten comfortable, and they rule the roost, and they tell what's going to happen, and they don't, and they're not for the people, clearly. If some of these people, like the speaker, not for the people at all, not for the communities that it's supposed to be serving instead of being self-serving, but... also, one of the bills I totally agree in, no fundraising during legislative sessions. During legislative sessions, there shouldn't be any fundraising. There shouldn't be any, nobody should be receiving campaign contributions during regular legislative sessions. Because that seems to me to be like a conflict of interest. So, HB, House Bill, 327, HD 1, Senate Bill 244, and Senate Bill 2266 prohibit legislatures from holding fundraisers or receiving campaign contributions during the regular legislative session. So C corporations, looking to help further their cause and sort of say, hi, be your best friend, when a bill comes up regarding pesticides or GMOs or whatever, or the agriculture industry, they'll basically, won't be able to donate a campaign contribution to their legislature who is about to vote. Because God knows that, over here in Hawaii, conflicts of interest don't come out unless the public comes up with it and points the finger. Okay? And also there's certain bills that I just look at. I mean, one of them was, they want to bring back the super ferry. That's House Bill 2670. And Senate Bill 3090, which is implementing the Inner Island Ferry System. And House Bill 2225, 2225, and Senate Bill 2618 ask for a feasible study for an Inner Island Ferry System. So, I really don't look at that. as a good bill. But then there's some bills that are, you know, that are support of children. Water and milk with a kid's meal, House Bill 1437 and House Senate Bill 1179 require food establishments to offer for sale only bottled water or low-fat milk as a part of a children's meal. I agree. I agree. Here's one bill that I find really funny. Tax our sodas, but not our shaved ice and malasadas. I was looking at them, I was like, what?
What was that? The Portuguese Senator.
You can tax our sodas, but not our shaved ice and malasadas. The Senate Bill 1256 imposes a fee on sugar-sweetened beverages. But, you know, when it comes to our shaved ice and malasadas, don't you dare touch those. No. So some of the bills, and now I would definitely support that bill. You know, you can tax the sodas all you want, yeah. But when it comes to shaved ice and malasadas, are you kidding me? Letting me break your arm.
Well, I didn't read the whole article, but even the county of Kauai is looking, the council is looking at increasing the tax on gas, 15% increase, 15 cents increase. I just think we're being taxed out of our brains. You know, they just have to, live, tighten their belts. I do agree. This taxing us until we're like taxed out is taxing.
Now, here's one interesting: vote or else.
Uh-oh.
House Bill 1495 makes it mandatory for registered voters to vote with a $100 fine.
You can't make it mandatory.
Yes, this is a bill for a $100 fine if a registered voter fails to vote without a valid excuse.
Who introduced that bill?
The government.
These guys, they don't have anything better to do. They just, oh, come on, there's more serious problems we got than that.
I know. I mean, we're encouraging everybody to vote for the government to find
them
if they don't vote.
Force them. You have to instill in them that they want to vote and use exercise. You can't force people to vote. Oh, these crazy people, I swear.
I know. Some of the bills and proposals,
we never came up with nothing. Throw this in. So we have something.
Now, here's four proposals in which the government is on the edge of illegal action. On the edge? Oh, no, they fell over the edge a long time ago.
Wait, because we have another phone caller, so let's give priority to the phone caller. Oh, caller, you're on the air with Nalea Hawaiian Issues.
Oh, good. Yeah, great show you got going on there.
Mahalo.
Auntie mentioned the Inner Island Ferry or Super Ferry, resuming the Super Ferry. They're looking at two different deals on that.
Yeah.
But you know what? They need $500,000 for conduct a study.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think it was in probably the same article in the paper about the Inner Island Ferry system. And you're saying, oh, they can't force us to vote. Yeah, I agree with you, but they're trying to force us to have insurance.
Exactly.
They're talking mandatory vaccination of everybody, even if you've got religious concerns or other concerns about it. Mandatory vaccinations. So it's not just forcing us to vote. They're forcing us to get vaccinated. They're forcing us to carry insurance.
True.
Is this beginning to look like a police state or what? Yeah.
We don't have a choice. Yeah. You have to carry insurance or you get charged $1,000. Yeah, so you are, it's true. Yeah, they force us to do a lot of things.
Yeah, so it's not just, idea of forcing us to do one thing or the other, but there's a whole mass of them coming down. This forced vaccination thing, even if you look into it, there's a strong opposition toward it with valid reasons for not using this stuff. And they're saying the flu vaccination this year. Oh, yeah, everybody should have the flu vaccination. But then again, they're only being vaccinated for one type of flu. The flu germ changes from the different vaccinations that come out, too.
Exactly.
So you can't vaccinate for the whole spectrum of flu virus that's out there. So a lot of
it mutates. Flu mutates to another level, depending on the environment.
Exactly. Right.
And the first thing that comes to my mind is, who's making those vaccinations and who's getting paid for those vaccinations? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They make it mandatory. Pharma. Yeah, someone's making money.
Yeah, it's the the big pharmaceutical corporations again. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was really, I was watching this this documentary, and it was really sad to see that millions of people died from the AIDS epidemic in Africa because of this political thing with the pharmaceutical companies forcing these countries to sign off on this trade deal that would not allow generic, cheaper drugs coming into their countries in Africa to supply their people. They had to buy this outrageous amount of money for this one pharmaceutical, and the people couldn't afford it, so they died. And it was all because of money.
Absolutely.
That's a sad comment.
Abe over in Japan over there, he's telling everybody, oh, no, we got to crank up the nukes again. You know, we got to get Fukushima running. Even though Fukushima is still breaking down and emitting radiation throughout the world, we need to get our nuclear reactors happening again because it's an economic necessity for our country, he's telling. Well, they told him they didn't want that. They told him they didn't want military either, and he's still pushing it ahead. It makes me think about Shinto Ige we got in here in the Hawaiian Islands telling us, oh, we need Super Ferry again. We need telescopes on top of Mauna Kea. Making these decisions that are, you know, from their lofty perspective is going to benefit the people or benefit who knows who,
right,
the seed companies, the corporations, you know, the government, that sort of thing. So their use is, I don't know, it seems in Japan it's that way. Oh, okay, we understand how the people feel, but that's not important.
And I think in Japan's instance, when they're talking about the nukes, the Japanese people came out very strongly to told the Japanese government, no, you have to do something else to find the nukes. We're not going to go through this Fukushima thing again. So the people were very strong in opposing their government and saying, hey, wait a minute. No.
Yeah.
No. You got to figure out something else.
Oh, go ahead. Well, anyway, there's no insurance companies that will cover nuclear reactors like that. So they created a law that the liability transfers to the people.
Always. It's always the people who have to pay for everything. We're the scapegoats for everybody.
Yeah, well, it's like, oh, and the same thing with the vaccines. Oh, nobody will insure these vaccines? Okay, hey, you know what? We're going to put a little committee together where they can, you know, if they have any problems with reactions to the vaccine, you can get a hold of us, and we'll try and work out a deal with you, you know.
Yeah.
But there's no insurance company that will touch it.
And it goes back to what you said. And they didn't force us, but they just write the law, and they give $500 billion to the Wall Street guys. That was our money.
Yeah. It's the corporations writing the laws anyway.
Yep.
Now, so.
So I agree with the trend that across that's the system, it has to be tweaked because it's not working the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. The Republicans even seem to be saying that now by their wanting to endorse an approval of Donald Trump. They're saying, we can't trust the Republicans anymore either.
Exactly.
And they never. Yeah. So okay, we're going to take the wild card here. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right, and like the gentleman who called him before, they're taking a gallon. Just anybody but the establishment. Well, you got to look at what this guy's offering, too.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, what is he? Oh, he speaks his mind, you know. Oh, he got guts like that, you know. Oh, but what does he stand for? What's that? Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, what's his plan for this or that? He doesn't have any details.
Yeah, no. Just dramatics and stuff. Oh, I'll let you guys go. Great show. I'm going to continue listening on and...
Mahalo.
Agree with all you're saying.
Hello, hello.
Oh my gosh! I tell you, some of the proposals. I mean, some of these, like, there's about four proposals in which government is on the edge of illegal action, but they've been the edge of legal action for a long time. Now here's this one. This one, watch it, folks. Ringing the doorbell for land grab. This sounds like the provisional government type thing, okay? HB, House Bill 1635 and Senate Bill 2173 force commercial property owners to sell land to tenants if the tenant has at least a 15-year lease, has occupied the premise for at least 5 years, and is not in default on that lease. Doesn't that sound like the provisional government? Hey, I'm going to lease your house. And if I've been here for 15 years, I like buy them. You know, like
your house is my house.
Yeah, exactly.
And get out.
Get out.
Well, this is another thing I was reading on Hawaii Free Press, that America Samoa fights feds for fishing zone. And it says America Samoa says that the U.S. government violated its sovereign rights by shrinking the zone around the territory that protects it from and its fishing culture from large vessels in federal court. The territory of America Samoa in South Pacific is the only unincorporated and unorganized sovereign territory in the United States. The status affords the 28,000 square mile territory special rights to maintain its traditions, cultures, and unique control of its keyword and unique control of its lands and waters under a treaty known as the Deeds of Cession, signed in 1900 by the island's native chiefs and the U.S. government. So there was a Deeds of Cession.
Yep.
They have unique control, which means when we want to do it, we can do anything we like. You have no control at all.
That's so good. But, you know, I some of the stuff that I can't believe it. It's like, especially that land grab in terms of commercial property owners. I mean, some of the bills are coming up. That's why, you know, Anthony is totally right. You know, some of these people, and term limits, I totally agree, and let's make them shorter. But some of these people have been stuck in their position so long that they think they can get away with anything. And they have gotten away with a lot of things. It's time for us to kick their little booties out of office and put in somebody who is not a politician, but, you know, a farmer, you know, a cultural practitioner, you know, a kahu. Let's get some people who, you know, the organic farmer in. Let's put people who, you know, who make a difference. It's like one of the things is, you know, question them first. Do you know the Malama'aina principle? It's time. It's time that we stick these rotten little people out. Take the little rotten little people out and put the regular people in.
And that's, you know, I'm disappointed with the system the way it is, especially its treatment of our Hawaiian people and my Hawaiian family. But I still vote. Until we get our own sovereignty back. But this thing with the Na'ele Puni, because I wanted to bring this up too, because I can't pull it up here because the Star Advertiser, you have to have
have an account, yeah.
Yeah. So, but our friend Bob sent us this article about they're asking for money donations to proceed to the second phase because I guess they burnt out their $2.5 million they're giving from OHA. But this is the latest update. It was March 9th. And this is from Free Hawaii TV, and it's regarding Na'ele Puni's secret controller. Let's see what he has to say. Free Press Hawaii. Free Hawaii TV.
Aloha aina. I'm Ehu Ke Kahu Cardwell with the Kauani Foundation here on Free Hawaii TV, a part of the Free Hawaii Broadcasting Network. Well, last week we told you here about the phony constitution created by the Na'ele Puni participants, a document that was hastily created by a bunch of people who had zero previous experience in doing anything like this before. Stop and think for a minute. If you tried to fly a plane or perform brain surgery, but you had never done it before, how do you think it would turn out? That's right. So how were they able to come up with a constitution? According to U.S. federal employees that we here at Free Hawaii TV spoke with, any time a U.S. federal bureaucracy wants a specific outcome, it suggests to those citizens language to use to submit so that bureaucracy will say this. So the language for this phony constitution was suggested by the U.S. Department of Interior ahead of time. And the controllers in the room at the Na'ele Puni Convention made sure that language ended up as the constitution. Maybe they did, but they really didn't have to. Why? Because it was the drafting committee at the convention that was all-powerful. They were the ones that redrafted this Constitution. After the Constitution was drafted, the participants did not all get together and review it, going over it line by line, as is normally done. Instead, everyone there was forced to vote yes or no on it with no discussion. And can you guess what amount of time the Na'iapuni handlers gave everyone to do this? Beginning to get the picture here? As this piece of junk is, it is good enough for the DOI to say this. Those pushing this Na'iapuni scheme, like the Danners, will be going around Hawaii soon to try to convince you to vote for this train wreck of a document. We urge you to attend their community meetings and tell them why you will be voting no to their treasonous scheme. Tell them no way to their foul play. Now, if you think this information is important, share this Free Hawaii TV video with all your friends online. That's how you can support a Free Hawaii. I'm Ehuke Kahu Cardwell with the Kauani Foundation, right here on the Free Hawaii Broadcasting Network.
Well, that was a free press in the... let's put my cousin back on because she had a comment about the guy who was talking that I didn't know. Cuz, what's your spiel on him? Because whenever he talked, I thought his facts were right, but you said you have some background on this guy.
Yeah, and I don't like to discuss it. That's like airing dirty laundry stuff. The thing of it is...
well, if I'm going to play him and you hang up...
he ripped off the Kauani Foundation from the family. And I look at this guy, his name is actually, Riley Cardwell. When the kingdom, when Kalahui Hawaii was around, the reason why your cousin didn't let him in is because, at the time Black was, Huli was, in
office. Huli from Waianae, yeah, I remember Blackie.
Yeah. Yeah, he was part of it, but the reason why he didn't get in is because a Kanaka sister from San Diego basically let let some information known on him that basically he is working with the federal feds looking to get an in to the various different organizations to provide info. And he's doing a really nice job. I'm sure he makes videos and voices of the truth and one for the feds and one to be sold.
From what I saw, I thought he was always factual. I didn't know the background on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. He was maybe on some stuff he's factual, but on some stuff he's prefabricated, okay? But, yeah. So I look at it this way. What a perfect opportunity he's in to basically put together a whole information on some of our leaders in the sovereignty movement.
Mm-hmm. And he's against the Danners.
And have it being used against them on a federal level if anything comes to push to shove. It's a perfect position for him.
No, and you know I support you, cuz, so I won't play him in again. Even though some of his facts are coming out, I agree with it, but, you know, I support you. Just like I mentioned in the past when I don't listen to this guy, I don't deal with this guy for the reasons I had, and you have your reasons, and I believe you, so.
Yeah,
I will, cuz I looked, when I was playing him, you would click, go, hey, how come? So, now I understand, I won't be playing him no more.
That's like the same reason that you have, Kauai's well-known musicians, you know, like, you wouldn't have him on the program, though, would you?
He's not that well-known. Maybe on Kauai, but he's not. No, that's why. Yeah. I am supporting you. I will not when I see him, I will not play him.
Yeah, it's a matter of principle.
Support your local Hawaiian, especially if you're family. Okay, so I have to find someone else. I've got to find someone else. He's the one I'm talking all the time. As far as this issues.
No, he's not affiliated with Hawaii Free Press.
No, he's just on there all the time.
Yeah, he's on there, but he sends his docs in.
Got it.
Yeah, like everybody else who sends their documents in to be, reported.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it this way. When a Kanaka sister who worked at that time with another agency basically said he was working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation looking to infiltrate a lot of our sovereignty groups to gather info and intel.
And what was there, did she provide any documentation or was she just, how did you confirm that?
To some of the people who were, I wasn't privy to that. I was informed that. I wasn't privy to it, but I was informed that about him. And I was like, oh, yeah. And the information was given.
All righty then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been clarified for me.
Yeah. At this particular point, it'd be like, allowing a pedophile in a daycare center. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how passionate I am about that one.
No, I understand your passion because you understand mine about some people, so. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, then, do you want to have any final comments? And we can go out with music, as we came in with music.
Well, at this particular point.
We'll leave it at that.
Yep. Let's leave it at that one.
As I remember, Prim was out somewhere, and I knew, someone is over here. Nah, no. I don't let go. So, believe me, cuz. I understand. There's just some people you just don't, you know what they did, and you just don't want to deal with these people anymore. One guy asked me, how come you're right? I was like, I know what they did to me, and these people don't exist. If you guys want to hang with these people, that's fine. I'm not telling you to be friends with, but for me, my experience, these people don't exist in my life anymore at all. Even if they walk right in front of me, they do not exist. So I got you, cuz.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do want to mention that, Grassroots of Hawaii is looking to basically discuss issues facing the Native Hawaiian community and will explore alternatives which the community can achieve its cultural, social, and economic goals other than through a restoration of political sovereignty. Now, that's with Grassroots Institute. That's the reason why they're against Niaupuni. But anybody who's against Niaupuni, I really applaud. For whatever reason they're against it, no. They're just not into the political sovereignty or into the framework of political sovereignty. They feel that there's other ways that they can advance other than political sovereignty. However, I disagree. Basically, I understand because the political sovereignty is going to get going for political sovereignty does have its backlashes, but basically I don't think it's not. I feel it's feasible that we can gain sovereignty, political sovereignty, and regain independence from the United States. As a member of the international community, I do believe we can, as a people, as a nation.
So, but again, there's they're looking to find pathways for Native Hawaiian advancement other than political sovereignty. So I don't, now, you know, more power to them, and that's the grassroots institution. So if those who are interested in at least finding out about that, they can. However, it's here on Oahu, but it's on Thursday, March 17th, between 11:30 and 1:30 p.m. at 1132 Bishop Street, room 601. So if you're on Oahu during that time, you know, then you want to check it out, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., 1132 Bishop Street, room 601. That's on Thursday, March 17th. So again, Maui Hawaiian issues will continue to bring you the information that's important. I think it is very important that, you know, if you get a chance to find out what your legislators are doing, see which bills they are passing. You can go to Hawaii.gov and look on the internet to see what type of bills are being introduced and who they're being introduced by, because it's important. Check out and, you know, we encourage you to vote. And also check out that bill that's on the horizon of forcing you to vote. That's one bill that we don't want. We don't want to be forced to do anything. So, again, check out the bills. It's very important. And maybe you might find something that we missed in terms of some of the things that they're trying to, the government and legislature is trying to get away with. So, again, look to check that out. So at this point, I'll say hui ho. All right, cousin.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
Aloha nō from Nā Leo, Hawaiian Issues.